This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, afternoon. Here we gather around the Umpqua Valley to talk about plants, yards, lawns, gardens, and a laundry list of things that need attention. Mike Winters, why do we not have time to get to all of this?
Because we only have 24 hours in a day, and most of us spend half of that working or doing something else, and the rest of the time we're tired.
Boy, it's just a challenge. You know, this year I didn't get the hydrangea trimmed back in time to do it. So, yeah, so now it's huge. You know, and other plants and things like that, it's like, okay. And it doesn't look the way I want it to look right now, but we are allegedly going to enter another season here in a few weeks. Summer is certainly not over yet, as we can tell outside. But, yeah, it's a challenge.
Well, don't hesitate. You can prune it tonight when you get home, for crying out loud. You will not hurt it. I guarantee you will not hurt it.
Well, maybe this late in the season, but oddly enough, that's about a two-hour project, and I appear to be overdressed.
Well, tell you what, work a half an hour a night for five nights, you have it.
Yeah, that doesn't. There is no appeal in that. Here we are at 95 degrees. We may make it to 100. We can hope.
You sure like that 100-degree mark. You always talk about it, and I want to just jump on the radio and get you.
Well, no, and it you know, 104 possible tomorrow.
Oh, dear. No, thank you.
No, it's
not my cup of tea at all. I'm more like a, you know, 81 and a half type of guy. So anyway.
Well, and we've got air quality issues now, too.
Oh, great. You know, only 1,500 different forest fires burning everywhere. But other than that, who cares, huh?
Yeah. In fact, I was just looking at the data here. Let's see if I can pull this up real quick and see. I just ran an errand and actually took my wife dinner before she got home. So all she has to do is put it in the oven because I'm not going to be there when I normally am. And let's take a look at the current air quality around Oregon and see what we are getting at this hour. Right now we're getting a blank screen. That's not what I wanted. We'll let it load here. Ah, here we go. I think this is coming up a little slowly. This is live radio, and when the internet slows down, we have to just deal with it. Okay, here we come.
You got to talk slower.
No, that's not what you wanted. Oh, yeah, we've gone downhill. We're at a 50. We are at a 59, which means that we are at a level where the air is unhealthy for some people.
And we probably shouldn't be outdoors, not breathing or anything else. So go inside.
No, we're at moderate. Actually, we're not at unhealthy yet. We're at moderate, in the moderate category. But we were in the good category till about an hour ago today. So it's moderate now. Just try to back off on your breathing a little bit.
Well, the later it gets during the day, the heavier the air gets, the heavier the smoke gets, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how that works, buddy.
All right. Very good.
Anyway, this is a garden show with questions, and I will give you...
We have questions.
I got lots of questions, but I can't ask them. But if you have a question about your lawn, your garden, your trees, shrubs, whatever, flowers, give us a call at 673-4464, and we'll put you right on the air. You can ask the question. We'll have a conversation, and it's all good to go. So no question is stupid. No question is dumb. Every question is valid, so don't hesitate. You know what has really impressed me? The last two shows in the last 2 weeks, I have been inundated with calls, and I appreciated that very much. The week before last, we got a call right out of the box, and I had one caller after the next, bang, 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 and it took about a half an hour of the show just on the first four or five calls. It was great. I loved it, and I hope everybody gained information and were able to go on with their landscaping life in their yard and all that. But anyway, thanks again. I appreciate the calls. They're good. They're valid, and they pertain to what we're doing here in Douglas County on a daily basis. So anyway, I'm going to switch horses a little bit here and talk about indoor plants for a little bit. And they seem to, you know, show up in everybody's house in one fashion or another nowadays. And this is like a fashion statement almost. And they're a whole nother dimension to our lives. There are lots of positives to them. And there can be some negatives if you don't do them right, if you don't water them, fertilize them, prune them, et cetera, have them in the right location, all those kinds of little criteria. But number one, they look good and they add a dimension of good health to our lives. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Many of them bloom year-round in the house, not like a rose or anything like that, but they have some of them, small blooms and stuff. And some are just tough and green and need very little care. I mean,
pause right there because you've got your first caller. You're on the air with Mike Winters. What's your question?
Well, I have a couple of comments, too. One, Kyle should move to 29 Palms or Death Valley.
And then, that's good. I like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, and my other thing is I'm with Kyle, though, when it comes to letting things get away because they didn't get pruned enough.
Yeah.
One of them is my table grapes, and I'm just going to ask you and let you run with it, Mike. And I'm going to sit here and listen about being able to prune table grapes and how to do it year-round, hopefully.
Okay. Are there any grapes on them now?
Oh, yeah. They got loads of grapes.
Okay. I mean, when you say loads, clear out at the ends and all that?
Yep.
Okay. Well, don't worry about it until you've harvested all the grapes. Get all the grapes off. Use them. Do what you do, eat them, juice them, freeze them, whatever. And then when the stems are bare in about another month, go ahead and you can start pruning them. But don't hesitate to prune. They're like, it's like cutting your fingernails. You can't hurt them. You can't kill them. I've pruned grapes, any kind, way down, almost to the ground, and they come roaring back. I wouldn't recommend that simply because you don't want to take off any of the fruit-bearing stems. But if, let's say you got a grape plant that's 4 feet tall and it's a little wide and it's a little out of hand and it's up against a sidewalk or a house, whatever, go ahead and prune it back about a third to a live bud after all the grapes are harvested and the leaves are gone, etc. And then the following year it's going to be much more productive and healthy, and kind of open it up too. If there's too many stems in there, thin some of the stems. You know, if you had a head full of hair that was just wild and crazy, you know, you usually get a haircut, you thin some of that out so it looks neater, cleaner, and healthier. Same way with the grape, same way with any shrub or tree. Does that help you?
Well, my problem is, okay, I pruned them in the spring, like March, April, February, March.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't get back to them, and they have tendrils going out across my garden that are about 20 feet long.
Was that all?
Yeah.
Jeez,
so that's why I'm saying, can I prune them year-round? Can I just keep pruning them back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, anything that's an obnoxious branch is going 20 feet long. Get rid of it because that's a non-productive stem. You want to keep the grapes compact, if you will. I mean, as you drive around Garden Valley or out Winston, whatever, look at some of the arbors, the grape arbors, when they finally are harvested and they start to prune them, look and see how far back they prune them. You'll be amazed. You think, well, they must have killed them. No, they don't do that. They do it because to increase their good health, and you'll do the same with your table grapes in your yard.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right, you can call as well, 673-4464.
Yeah, any questions, fair game, so don't even hesitate. We'll just have a conversation, and I won't even embarrass you. What do you think? Yeah. But anyway, I start out talking about indoor plants and how they decorate our house, how they are, you know, a positive health thing for us. Maybe put us in a good mood. We come home from work and we're traffic and blah, 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 blah. And you sit down next to your favorite coffee table and there's this beautiful indoor ficus sitting there staring at you, smiling. You can't help but smile back. And that immediately begins to relax you and puts you in a better mood. I mean, you know, indoor plants are great that way, but don't hesitate to prune them. If they get a little wild, not a shape, go ahead and snip them back. It's like cutting your fingernails, like I said. It doesn't hurt them. It improves the health of that. And We, in fact, as humans, kill many of our indoor plants on a regular basis. However, not on purpose. But for some reasons, we view them as fragile and water and fertilize often and way too much. And think, oh, a little bit of fertilizer here. Oh, I'll just add a little bit of water and maybe a little bit more fertilizer. And usually it's a liquid fertilizer. And go straight down to the plant roots and you go, wow, you know. But, you know, a lot of these, keep in mind that these fragile indoor plants that we take home from Freddy's or whatever, they grow wild in the jungles, in the swamps, in the mountaintops, in the deserts, and other harsh climates. They're tougher than nails. They're not weak and tender for the most part. So let's face it, humans love plants indoors or out of doors, and you're not going to, unless you prune it right to the ground 16 times in days in a row or something like that, you're not going to hurt it. It's okay. It'll come back stronger, nicer, more healthy all the way around. So when you might say, well, so which indoor plants are
we've got another call. Let's go to the phone. You're on the air with Mike Winters. What's your question?
Hello.
Hi, Mike. This is Lois Taylor, and I have a son and daughter-in-law who live on an old place that's 150-plus years old, and it has a grape on it that's very, very old. It's probably been there as long as that house has, but it's a good table grape, but every year it gets a fungus so that the grapes never mature right, and they taste bad. You can't eat them. Is there something that you can drench on the roots or something to prevent that?
Is it up against a structure of some sort?
It's on kind of an arbor.
But it's not against a garage or a house or a shed or anything like that,
no,
is it?
No.
So it's got a lot of good air circulation?
Got a lot of circulation, yes.
Okay, well, there are certain sprays that you can spray in the wintertime called grape dormant sprays that will help prevent that. So what you need to do is go, like, to the co-op or your favorite hardware-type store and look at the line of products that they have specifically for healthy grapes and you know, fungus and things like that. And then when it's dormant and, let's say end of October, first part of November, give it its first spraying and spray it meticulously and thoroughly. And then about another month and a half goes by, spray it again and maybe spray it three times during its dormant season when there's no leaves on it. And then knock it off as soon as you start to see buds coming on. And I think you'll have an improvement there. And if not, give me a call back and I'll see what else I can come up with. Does that help?
Okay. I thought maybe it was something that started down in the root or something because of the way that it acts.
Well, it could
I'll
be.
It
could be, in fact, that when you spray the stems and you know, give them a good saturation, then whatever you have left in that spray, go ahead and dump around the roots. Just dump it right into the ground at the stem at the base.
Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call.
And we'll take a break right now.
673-4464 if you have any questions. I'm glad to answer.
Back with more on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show in a moment on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 422, the afternoon report coming up at 5 o'clock. And let's go to the phones right now because we've got another call. You're on the air with Mike Winters. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. This is Chuck, and I've got an old cedar tree and one of the biggest ones in Winston on Sukesworth in Grape. And I have noticed in the last week about 20% of it near the top is all brown.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I should have somebody come over and I don't know what to do. I don't want to lose this tree. It's over 100 years old. I hate to see this big tree die.
And what's the address?
281 Suchsdorf on the corner of Grape and Suchsdorf in Winston.
Suchsdorf. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll do a drive-by. Either when I get off the station here or tomorrow morning. How's that?
Oh, that'll be fantastic. And you have my phone number since I called?
Yeah, please do it. Give me it.
Okay. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
541-680-1584.
1584. And your first name?
Yeah, Chuck Keller.
I'm sorry.
Chuck Keller.
Oh, Chuck.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll take a look at it for you.
Great. And this thing, the tree itself, I mean, it would take like four people with their arms stretched to go around the base of the tree, and I just hate to see something this big in Winston that I... thank you very, very much.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we can't do something about that. Thanks for the call.
Okay. You have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, 673-4464, if you want to call in this afternoon.
That's a shame, a tree that large and that old to have, you know, it's hard to say what would be wrong with it without being there, standing there looking at it, if it's borers or something like that, or some other kind of bug that loves to inhabit trees. But anyway, I'll take a look at it and see what happens. Well, anyway... I started out talking about the indoor plants and stuff and trying to talk about these things that grow wild in jungles and swamps, like I say, and deserts and other harsh climates, mountaintops. They're not weak. They're not tender. And for the most part, let's face it, humans love plants indoors and outdoors, but we don't seem to give them enough credit for their toughness and their... just overall, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live here and enjoy myself. So which indoor plants are the tough and won't be hurt when you forget about them? Well, there's actually quite a few, but I can only give you a few examples simply because there's only hundreds or so, and it would take 3 weeks to get through the whole list. But one that is very hardy, of course, is a jade plant, one of my favorites. Jade plant, little green, shiny, thick, roundish leaf. It seems like nothing hurts them except way too much water. And they're kind of short and very slow growing, kind of a little pudgy plant. And you can forget it for a couple of months in the back bedroom and discover one day that, whoa, look at it. Hey, it's still alive. So you dust it off, give it some water, a spoon of fertilizer or something like that, and it's good to go for another decade or so, and just put it out where it can actually get some sunlight. Maybe you had it stuffed in a closet. I don't know. But it looks like a little miniature tree. You can prune them into little miniature trees. It can be pruned into whatever shape you actually desire. And it makes a very nice indoor bonsai. But it takes a lot of to really shape it, because it is a slow grower. It doesn't just jump right by there and start growing like a fern or, you know, one of the other little crazy little plants that you'll find at Payless. We don't have Payless anymore, do we?
Those are the Rite Aids.
Oh, Rite Aids. I knew there was another name. But like I said, the leaves are thick and shiny, giving the plant a real tree-like look. With judicious pruning, they're very, very beautiful and very mature in appearance. And they can grow up to 6 feet tall. I've seen them that high and wider, but that takes a whole lot of years to get them there. I mean, it's not like they, maybe 10, 20, at least 20 years to get up to that kind of height. But They just do real good. But when you get something that's growing tall, you don't want to let it get it top heavy, because the leaves are so heavy that a branch could break, and then you've got to reform the tree and it's kind of wounded and all that. So you want to keep them kind of short a little bit, prune some of the new growth once in a while. It's not an every day, every year type of thing you have to do, but every couple, 3 years, you see a few crowded branches, thin them out, open it up, air it out, so that you can see through the plant, so you can see the design that it has, you know, the curvature of the stem and the bark and all that kind of stuff. And they're pretty versatile, and jade plants, they prefer a potting mix of well-drained organic material. And if you repot them every, say, 3 or 4 years, maybe more, it'll stay healthy, it'll stay beautiful, and you're not going to have to mess with it. And rather than leaving a jade plant grow, like I say, tall and spindly, it is better to prune it and keep it open and compact. It looks better, and it doesn't. There wouldn't be any tendency for the upper branches to break off because they're so heavy, and the branches are heavy because the leaves are thick, like I say. And they make a beautiful bonsai. If you don't know anything about bonsai, get a book and read about it a little bit, or get on your internet-y thing, and let them...
Internet-y thing?
Internet-y thing. You know, look under B for bonsai. Kyle likes to correct me.
We have got to give you an introductory class to proper use of the internet and why it is so important in your daily life.
Likewise on you and bonsai, okay? In many cultures, a jade plant represents good luck and prosperity, and it's a popular gift on many occasions, especially in cities, because a lot of apartment dwellers in cities, so they don't have much of a choice in plant materials other than the city parks or something like that, and they want a few plants in the house. Well, a jade plant is one of those that really will do well for you, and there's no hassle. That's the thing, no hassle. And the world's oldest house plant is also related to a palm. And in a person, you'd have to get to know, you have to get to go to KEW Gardens in London to see it. And this was in London to see it. It was gathered in South Africa by a botanist named Francis Mason in 1775, and it's lived in London ever since. It was repotted in 2009 and on display at the garden for 250 years. Its total age is an absolute mystery. Nobody knows. It's huge. It's I saw a photo of it and you go, whoa, what happened there? How'd that get to be? But repotting, for one that you have in your living room or your kitchen or whatever, is important for those indoor plants, like every 3 to 5 years or more or less. It depends on the rate of growth, the type of plant, those kinds of things. There's always a lot of ramifications to, should I pot it up or let it go, you know, that kind of thing. But always remember to use organic, well-draining soil. Organic meaning just well-draining, good stuff, high energy, high potency stuff. And the new pot or the container should be large enough to house the plant without cramping and have plenty of room to grow. Don't squeeze an older plant into a small pot and expect it to grow and be healthy, because it hasn't. It won't do it. It refuses to participate in that kind of thing. So, you know, so common sense plays a large part in success of indoor plants and outdoor plants as well. But I have seen, literally over the years, as when I was in business for 50 years in the nursery business, you know, folks would come in and bring their sick-looking indoor plant in and set it on a counter. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing with it, and blah, 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 and the leaves are brown and they're falling off. And I'd say, how often do you water it? Oh, at least once a week or more. And I would lift gently the plant out of the pot, and it was saturated. All the roots were rotten, so that's why the plant looked dead, because there was no nutrition going up into the plant from the root systems, because there was no root systems that could do it. So when you have an indoor plant like that, you want to give it a bigger pot, give it better soil, give it better drainage, and say, well, you don't have to repot them every year or anything like that, but every 3, 4, 5 years, you know, it just depends, like I say, on the rate of growth. And one, like I said, one sign you can look at are the roots coming out of the drainage holes? Is the plant wilting easily when having watered the day before? Are there bare branches or drooping leaves or stunted growth or no new growth? Those are our criteria that you need to look for. And one thing you might do is go to one of your garden stores out here, a box store or whatever, and get a good book on indoor plants. There's several out there that give you some real basic principles and rules and regulations and instruction on, hey, this is how you keep these puppies alive. This is what the name of it is. This is the type of soil you'll put in. This is the type of fertilizer. You know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, there's a lot of good basic information. But a good rule of thumb is to check your plant's roots every couple, 3 years. And if the roots are bound tight in a circle with no room, then you know that's time to repot to the next size up, because there's no room for that puppy to grow. And after a little experience, a person can tell what the plant needs to be healthy simply by looking at it. You see it every day, and sometimes when we see something every day, we take it, there's nothing wrong with that, and they just go on, and things are happening, and you know, that's it. And then another month goes by, and go, what the heck's wrong with my plant? So if you have a call, 673-4464, any questions, fair game, don't hesitate. Got lots of information in my head. I need to spit it out and share it with the listening audience.
You're saying is that you have a big head.
I do. It's huge. I can barely fit in this room on Wednesday afternoon.
Well, you asked for a question, and apparently you've got one, and somebody wants to be on the air. You're on with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. What's your question?
Good afternoon. My name is Rhonda.
Hi.
And I have a problem with white fungus-type stuff growing on my plants. Started with an orchid. It spread to my ZZ plant. I need to know what to do to take care of it.
Okay. Are these indoor or outdoor?
Indoor.
Indoor. Are they near a lighted window or kind of not?
They've been near a window for years.
And when did this all start happening?
Started about 3 to 4 weeks ago.
Huh. Did you insert, did you buy a new plant somewhere else and insert it in amongst the batch?
I have, but the fungus had already started before that.
Oh, it did. Okay. And it started on all the plants?
It started on one orchid, and it's just been slowly spreading.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever taken them outside?
I even took the orchid out of there.
Have you ever taken them outside for some fresh air?
No.
How many you got?
A lot.
Oh. So it take a while to get them all outside for a while and just...
Well, if I could do it, you know, just a little at a time where I take the plants out that are in one area and then the plants from another area, I could probably get it done.
Yeah, yeah. So you don't have any help, obviously.
If I can talk my husband into it.
Well, get the old stick out and say, hey, look, get them plants outside, honey.
Yeah, give me help.
No, well, sometimes, you know, plants need a little bit of a change of environment, and get them outside, say, in a shady, warm location where there's a little bit of breeze blowing around. And, you know, it's kind of just getting better place. And, you know, sometimes in the house it gets awful stuffy and there's a lot of more germs. germs in the house, it seems, than there are outside. But there are sprays that will take care of the fungus, and you can go to like the co-op or one of the box stores and look at all the different sprays, and there's probably a half a dozen that are just fungicides, and read the labels carefully and see what they have to say, and try one and see what happens. But don't overdo it. Don't think you're going to cure it in one fell swoop. I mean, just a little bit here, a little bit there, and after a couple of weeks, see if that if it helps.
Okay, I will definitely give that a try.
Okay.
And hope it helps. I don't want to lose my plants.
And in the meantime, don't overwater or fertilize or try to help it out in any other way, okay?
Yeah. Okay. My husband found an insecticide killer, you know, for indoor plants. Mm-hmm. And it also said that it does with the white fungus. And we sprayed it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. It's sitting right now in my kitchen sink. But I wanted to see how it works. But if taking them outside and letting them get some air, and
yeah,
I'll definitely give that a try.
It is. And then when you get them outside and give them some air, spray them when they're outside, because that will be like a double whammy on the whatever fungus might be attacking them.
Yeah, I know it said when I was looking it up, but, and so many of them say this, and this, and it's like, okay, I need someone who knows what they're talking about. But we sprayed it really heavy.
Uh-huh. Well, just don't overdo it. Don't over, how should I say? Don't, if it calls for a tablespoon, don't do 2 tablespoons, okay? Understand? Just.
Yeah, well, this said literally saturate it.
Okay. Okay.
So, I'm hoping.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for the information. I will definitely give it a try.
Give it a try, and if you're successful, I want to hear back, okay?
I will definitely do that.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for the help.
All right. Bye-bye.
4:39. I don't know what time it is. What day is it? Oh, it's the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. It must be Wednesday.
No, it's Sunday.
No, I know it's not Sunday. We'll be back in a moment. News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon to you, 4:43, 17 minutes away from 5 o'clock, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. The Commissioner of Dirt, that name given to him because he is as old as the substance.
Thank you very much, Kyle, for that compliment.
We try to be accurate here.
Mm-hmm. I won't say anything about you. I don't want to be too accurate. At any rate, if you have a question, 673-4464 will get you right on. Even Kyle can do that.
Yes.
But I was talking about indoor plants and, you know, that kind of thing, and potting getting things all wrapped up and rooting and all. There's so much, like I say, and there's some basic rules that you need not to do, and that is to over-fertilize, over-water, or stick a tender plant out in freezing weather or hot, scalding sun. It's just some basic things. And common sense will dictate that to you. You know, if you have like I was talking about jade plants earlier, a jade plant is probably one of the toughest indoor plants that you can actually have. And if you put it by a window, say, with morning sun, afternoon shade, that's like the perfect spot. If you put it at a window on a south face of your house where it's beaming in there, you know, 12 hours a day, there might be some detrimental effects to that. So you want to give it some protection from the intensity of the hot afternoon sunlight. Not that your house might be hot, but the rays of the sun, and just give it a break. It's they grow wild out there in places. So and in the places that they grow wild, it's pretty hot and dry and dusty. So they're okay. But we're talking about you know, potted plants, and what do we do if they're looking bad, and how do we correct the issue? So if you're checking the roots in a potted plant every, say 2 or 3 years, make sure. Maybe that's a little too long in some cases, depending on the plant. But even after 1 year in a pot, maybe too long for a fast-growing type of indoor plant or even an outdoor plant. And if the plant is not responding to, say, normal care, check the roots after a year in the pot, because that's where the main problem usually starts. And if you don't see any leaf damage or bugs on the leaves or on bugs on the stems or any kind of a rash anywhere on anything, it's usually a root problem. So that's where you begin to correct those things. And there are sprays and there are fertilizers and other types of chemical fixers that will fix root problems if that is the case. And when you use any of this, if you're not familiar, if you're not an expert at it, always go light. If it says a tablespoon per gallon, go a teaspoon per gallon or something like that, whatever the proportionality might be. And you don't want to overdose it. It's like if you're sick and the doctor gives you 4 shots of penicillin in each arm, you know, you're going to react a little differently, okay? So just kick back a little bit, goes a long ways, and you know, you're okay. So you got this potted plant. It's out on the patio, or it's on the dining room table, or whatever. And like I say, it's a little too long, long in the tooth in some cases. And after even 1 year, it might be too long if it's a fast grower. And the plant is not responding to normal care. Check the roots after a year or so in that pot. Just pull the whole plant, right? It's not going to fall apart. You just slide it out gently, look at it, and turn the root ball around very gently in your hand, and see if you see any bugs or little scaly things or something that doesn't look natural other than the roots of the plant or the soil. And if you see nothing, you're probably pretty okay. But if you do see something, you want to do a little bit of research and make sure that whatever you treat it with is the right kind of thing that you want to treat it with, like an all-purpose rooticide, if you will. And you always, like I say, do it in small quantities. You don't give it a shot, big shot, to say, well, I'm going to kill this thing right off the bat. So, you know, one of the things too, there's a little story on the side here. When I first started in business, I got a call from Napier Toyota, which was way down on Stevens Street, you know, Toyota dealer of Roseburg. And they said they had some plants in their car showroom were looking really bad. They were growing all over the windows. They got these great big huge plate glass windows, and the plants were growing across the windows, and the leaves were looking bad and all that stuff. And they asked me to come down and see if I could give them a consultation. And so I went down to visit them and see what their new large pots and whatever else they had. And I brought some pots. I brought some bigger pots. I brought my pruners. I bought a jug of vitamin B1, not knowing what condition they were in. You know, just a B1 is a good, it's like, I don't know, Vicks, I guess. But I was shocked and amazed at the size of these three indoor plants in the showroom. There was a philodendron. That's one of those great big African jungle looking huge leaves with big serrations in it, and the leaf might be a foot long and half a foot wide or bigger. And that's growing across that stretch across the big front window, and it's about 12 feet long, and and it's got leaves on the end of it, but then there's no leaves in the middle because they've all died off. And then there, right next to him, is a giant rubber tree, about 8 feet tall. It's a tree, and they're in pots. And I can't remember what the third giant plant was, but they wanted them pruned and shaped and repotted in larger fancy pots. And I thought, oh, geez, Louise, you know, I'm a new guy. I just started in this business. Like, I'd been in business about a year or a year and a half at that point. And honestly, I didn't know where to start, having never done this kind of major surgery before. So I started on the philodendron, that great big leaf thing. With my first cut about, 6-7 feet of shrub that I cut off.
But you know what we're going to do?
What?
You can tell the rest of the story when we get back.
Next week? Okay.
No. We get back in 2 minutes here.
2 minutes. We'll be back. If you want to hear the rest of the story, stick around.
On News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 4:53. The drift smoke you are seeing is coming from the Copperfield Fire in Chiloquin. That's in Klamath County.
Chiloquin.
Winds are pushing it from the southeast up into our area. That is where it is coming from right now. That word from Rachel Pope of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, who usually knows exactly what she's talking about. So.
Gee, Louise, how can it come clear from Chiloquin?
A wind, it just blows.
I know, but still, Chiloquin is, you know, just a ways over there, baby.
But you used to be in politics. You know about how hot air moves.
Oh, that was a slur against me, I think. That's okay. I don't count it as such. Anyway, I'm talking about plants. I'm talking about what we do with, I got the Napier Toyota, right? And they got these huge plants in the front window that they nobody pruned them for the last 25 years, I guess. And anyway, they were just spread all over the place. They were ugly and dead leaves and all that. And so I took out my trusty pruners and started whacking. And the problem was I had about 6-7 salesmen standing there with their arms folded watching me do every move. And to tell you the truth, I was a little bit nervous because I'd never done this before, not to a plant that big. And I was praying, oh, I hope I don't kill these things because they'll come after me and you know, my name will be worse than mud. So anyway, I you know, my first big cut, the philodendron, gosh, it must have been 3/4 to an inch in diameter on the stem, and this white pussy sap started flowing out of it almost like a faucet. And I'm going, oh geez Louise, now it's going to die for sure, because that's the lifeblood of the plant. That's what keeps it going. And see, I had cut off 15 feet of this plant. It was clear across the deal. So at any rate, I had a lighter and I brought it on purpose to cauterize the wounds. So I'm trying to mop up all this white's pussy stuff that's coming out of the middle of this philodendron, and I'm making not much headway really fast. But I finally dabbed off enough and got the lighter going, so I cauterized it and stopped the flow. And I stopped the flow, so consequently I saved the plant, right? Yeah, okay. And it was quite an operation. It took a few minutes, like I say, to finally, you know, get it all crusted over. And I thought I had killed it for sure. And my problem was I had an audience of car guys, you know, salesmen watching me, you know, every move I made. And I acted like this was an everyday thing for me, but I didn't tell them that I'd never done it before.
So every move you made and every step you took, they were watching you.
Amen, brother. I mean, that was it. They were not letting me off the hook at all. They were going to make and none of them knew how to do it, so I don't know what the heck they were looking at. Maybe they're trying to learn in case 20 more years went by and they had to do it themselves. I don't know. But that was probably my first big indoor pruning job. And I did learn a lot from that. But and they asked questions, and I gave them answers, and they seemed impressed. So, like I say, I stopped the flow and, you know, began the repotting process. So I had these great big large pots, lots of potting soil, and new tree stakes, and about a gallon of vitamin B1 for each plant, for crying out loud. They thought I was great. I thought I'd kill their specified plants, their specimen plants. And as far as I know, they're still surviving today, years later, and I haven't actually stopped in and bought a new Toyota lately, but the last time I looked, they were there. And that, and by the way, so I don't think it was the next year, maybe. We finally bought our first brand new Toyota from Napier Auto Sales, and it was one of the nicest, best little cars we'd ever had. Of course, we only had two children at the time; they were small. Sit in the back seat, shut up, and we drive. It was great.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. It was good, and we only got about 35 miles to the gallon or some thing, and that's when gas was 27.6. It's so geez.
Why are we all feeling old today?
I don't know. I guess it's the heat of summer, maybe. So I can honestly say that it was a success, but I really don't know how long those plants lived afterwards or if they're still living today. And my point is, don't wait to transplant potted plants either indoor or outdoors until they're so big that it takes a crane to pick them up and a pickup truck full of potting mix to make sure they have a good home. Now, the other side of the coin, I'm talking big plants, but now the other side of the coin is that I have been growing bonsai trees for about 45 years, and the pots are small.
And you have 1 minute left.
And I'm going to wait until next week to get into my bonsai and talk about that, and so I can have a very full discussion, and in case anybody has some interesting comments, questions, or suggestions, I want to make sure that I'm wide open for that kind of thing. So listen in next week. It's going to be on bonsai and where it came from, why we do it, why I love it, and it's my main hobby, and I only got one.
And it seems like it's been a real passion of yours.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been doing it, 40-plus years.
All right. Tune in next week to find out.
Yes, for the rest of the story.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
4:59, wrapping it up. Back next week on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.